I want you to open your Bible over to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, breaking free from the bondage of sin. Sin, you remember the word sin? You hardly hear anything about it anymore. That's because the world is living in it, and that's the environment of it, and so really they can't even recognize it many times anymore. But sin brings with it consequences. If you doubt that, just look at the world in which we live. I saw a report the other day, a video report of the homeless in San Francisco. Many of them were laying there on the sidewalks, strung out on drugs. There was footage of them shooting up drugs and inhaling drugs. It was pathetic. One of the most beautiful cities in all of America has come to that. San Francisco's not the only one. On that same video report, there were areas where they showed where you can't even walk without easily stepping into human waste, as well as kicking around used needles. I mean, this is on the streets of America, folks. These kind of things used to be hidden, so to speak, okay? People did them, even if people were struggling in the misery of drug addiction, they would do it in private and in dark rooms and so forth because of the stigma of it and the tragedy of it and the terror of it. But now it is wide open. It's everywhere you look. It's so prevalent, so prevalent. I could go on this. It was awful. But again, this is not unique in San Francisco. All over the world, there's drug and alcohol addiction. By the way, one of the most addicted cities in all of America is Washington, D.C. Did you know that? That's the truth of it. There's addiction also to other things, such as pornography, which is a pandemic, really, in our society. Maybe some of you struggle with that, but yet it's a secret part of your life that no one knows about yet. And of course, God knows. Then there are the subtle addictions, such as idolatry, where you are worshiping. There are other things. People think of idols as, you know, just statues. Well, certainly statues can be idols, but idolatry is really anything you put first in your life above God. That's idolatry, according to the Bible. That can be material, that can be immaterial. So there's the subtle addictions of idolatry. And by the way, one addiction that seems to be really growing in our society, subtle addiction, if you want to call it that, is the addiction of narcissism. Narcissism really is self-worship, is it not? It's everything's about you, every detail that comes your way in life, it's all about you, it's how you feel about it, it's everybody should conform to your idea, and if they don't, they're against you, and this and that, and there's all these different things. The narcissistic mind, they switch things around. I know in recent decades, we've had several of our presidents, who I would classify as narcissistic people, is all about them. People would say things, oh no, you're misunderstanding what I'm saying and all this, but it was always all about them. And this is a tragedy, but this is so prevalent today. Then there is the deception of false teaching concerning God, such as New Age or mysticism or other false religions. The world is in bondage to these things. I get calls regularly from people all over the country. No, all over the world. When I said that, I thought of some of the calls I've received from overseas as well. Some who are even believers, and yet they are struggling with sin, and they're very frustrated, and they're so frustrated with it, they're questioning whether they're saved or not. So obviously, when we get talking, the first thing I cover with them is salvation, and make sure they are saved, because that is the beginning of solution for their life. Is there any freedom, though, to be had? The answer is yes. But let me say this today, okay, and I hope this will be helpful. You have to be serious about it. And it starts from the inside and works its way out. This is an issue of the heart. This is an issue of your walk with God. And if you're not serious about getting victory, you won't get victory. And you're going to struggle with it the rest of your life unless you really lock in with this. And I'm not saying it's easy to break addiction. And again, we're not just talking about drugs. or smoking or drinking, or I'm talking about all the different addictions that are out there in the world. In John chapter 8, Jesus was speaking to the religious teachers of his day, and there are other people listening as well. But he's in the middle of the conversation here, and it says in John 8, verse 28, "Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he." You notice now you don't see it on your screen, but in your Bible, the word he is italicized. That means it's not actually in the Greek text. You could do justice to the text by saying, and remember now, he's talking to Jews who believe the book of Exodus, when God said, I am that I am. This literally is, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am. They knew what he was saying, because they wanted to kill him. And that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that hath sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Not everybody, but many did believe on him. Now, this word believe is no different than what we see in John 3:16. It's the same Greek word. So there's no reason not to believe that the people who believed in him trusted in him as Jehovah God, the Savior, the Messiah. And by the way, this is where salvation begins, and this is where freedom begins. Without Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's going to be a whole lot more difficult to get over the problems of this world. Not only that, but let me say this, friends, you may be able to break free from addiction. There are lost people who have stopped drinking. Good for them. Praise God. That is wonderful. Or they've stopped this addiction, or they stopped that addiction. But see, you can get your life cleaned up in some ways. But if you die without Jesus Christ the Savior, you'll be lost forever anyway. Now, I'm glad you get to where you have a little easier life, but that's not everything. If you don't have eternal life, you really don't have anything. You really don't. And things will really get bad one day if you die in that condition. Turn with me over to chapter 1, John chapter 1. Breaking free from the bondage of sin, according to God, begins with putting your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's where it begins. In John chapter 1, it says this, verse 12, "But as many as received him," referring to Jesus Christ, "to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name." Jesus, his name means God who is our Savior. And then we say Jesus Christ, almost pretending that the word Christ is his last name or something. No, that's a title. The Messiah, the Anointed One. So, Jesus is God, our Savior, the Messiah, the Anointed One. When you believe on his name, you are believing in him, you're trusting in him, you're putting your faith in him, that he is God, your Savior, the Messiah. The one who is the payment for your sin. And that, of course, is what the Bible is all about, is us understanding that. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, you see it says this. It says, "But God commended or displayed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Friends, we need a Savior. You can live a clean life, and when you die, if you don't have Christ as your Savior, you're going to be lost forever, suffering in torment. God doesn't want that for you. He doesn't want it for me. He doesn't want it for anyone in the world. That's why it says God so loved the world. Let me explain it to you this way, this illustration. We had somebody last week, they wrote a little blurb on a connection card, said they're kind of, tired of seeing this. They're tired of seeing this. Well, sorry, you're going to have to, if you're here today, you're going to have to see it again, because this makes the gospel clear. I can't tell you how many times and many of you can bear testimony to this, you've witnessed the people, and it's like they weren't listening, and as soon as you started using this illustration, they started paying attention to it. Listen, it's just an illustration of the truth. There's no salvation in what we call the hand gesture. It illustrates what God has done to where you can have salvation. You might say, well, what is it? Okay, I'm glad you asked, okay? Watch the illustration. This makes it clear. If this is you and me, this hand represents you and me. We're going to let my wallet here represent all the things we do wrong. God calls them sins. Okay, here we are. Guess what? We're all sinners. By the way, that is why there are so many problems in the world. It's because of man's sin. It isn't because you don't make a lot of money. It isn't because of your education. It isn't because of this thing, that thing. No, sin is the problem. We are all sinners, and sin separates us from God. Now, God wants us to go to heaven. He loves us. He hates our sin, but he loves us. But we cannot get into heaven with even one sin. So if you've committed a sin, you can't get into heaven according to God's word. What are you going to do? Well, God says not only that, but because we've sinned, we've violated his word. We've broken his laws, his commandments. We've sinned against him. All sin is against him. If we pay for our own sin, we're going to have to die, not only physically, but spiritually. We're going to be separated from God for all eternity if we pay for our own sin. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, as many people think, oh, I know how I pay for sin. I'll go to church. I'll get water baptized. I'll give money. I'll try to clean up my life. I'll be a good person. I'll try to keep the commandments. Friend, you've got to be perfect, and none of us are. We've already blown it. Therefore, your good works will not save you. So then what are we going to do? There's nothing in ourselves that we can do. And that is why God showed his love. He demonstrated his love. He commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let this hand represent the Lord Jesus Christ. You notice he's God in the flesh, sinless, therefore qualified to be a substitute for you and me. And that's what he did. He went to the cross. He took our sin upon himself, and he made the complete payment for our sin, leaving us nothing left to pay for. When he died, he paid for all sin, past, present, and future, was buried, and rose from the grave. And here's what he says. If you'll put your faith in him, if you'll believe in him as the one who did that for you, he says he'll give you as a free gift everlasting life. He'll never lose you. He'll never cast you out. You're secure forever, simply by trusting in Christ. God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners. You see, nothing saying you need to reform your life, you need to turn from all your sins, you need to make promises with God. No, while we're sinners, Jesus died for us. He did the work. All he's asking us to do is believe in him that he did that for us. And when you do, you believe on his name, he gives you everlasting life. Not based on your works. The Bible says, you notice it in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, for by grace are you saved, through faith, faith in Christ, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. See, you might say, well, I don't know if I can really believe that. Okay, your sin then remains. Your sin is not taken away from you until you trust in Jesus Christ. Once you trust in him, that payment is good on your behalf, and you are forgiven of all your sins. He gives you eternal life in exchange for sin. I think that's a pretty good deal. That's a good deal right there. It's a gift. It's free. So if you haven't trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, do that today. You might say, okay, so when I do that, all my problems are gone, right? Well, no, your biggest problem is gone. By the way, never to return. Because once you've trusted Christ, Jesus made the promise. You will not come into condemnation, but you have passed from death unto life. You have eternal life once you trust in Christ. He'll never lose you. He'll never cast you out. That is the reality of it. But folks, you know what also is a reality? We are still here, and those sins that we are yet to commit, and we will commit sin, those things can cause problems in our lives. So how do you break free from that in the Christian life? Let me say, there is freedom we experience when we trust in Jesus Christ the Savior. We are free from the penalty of sin. But this does not mean we will automatically experience freedom in our everyday lives. And this is a serious problem for believers. Now go back to John chapter 8, where we were. Jesus had some special words for those who believed in him. You might say, well, how did he know who believed in him? Wait a minute. Did you forget? He's God. And so as he spoke to this mixed crowd, he knew who believed in him because he's God. And he said in verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if, conditional, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You're my learners. The word disciple means a learner. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You might say, wait a minute. I thought when they got saved, they were free. Yes, in light of eternity and the penalty for their sin, yes. But not in their everyday life. That's why there are Christians who are living defeated, frustrated, sorrowful lives today. As one man said, most people live their lives in quiet desperation. And there are a lot of Christians who are living their lives in quiet desperation. So how do you break free from that? I want to give you some important truths to consider on this. The first one is this. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We're going to spend a decent amount of time here today. Here's the first point to consider today. Romans chapter 6. Number one. While the bondage of sin was broken for us when we believed, we can choose, listen, we can choose as believers to live under the bondage of it. Now, why wouldn't in the world would we do that? Well, every time we choose to sin, that is what we're choosing for ourselves. And you're going to hear that several times this morning as we go through this. While the bondage of sin was broken for us when we believe, we can choose to live under that bondage as believers. Why? Because we still have an old sin nature as well as the new nature, which is born of God and cannot sin. See, folks, we're born into the world. We have a sin nature. This is what we're born with. And we will have that sin nature until the day we die. When you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, the bondage of this, which you had no choice but to be under before you were a believer, when you trust Christ the Savior, the bondage of this is broken, but it's still there, and God gives us a new nature. When Christians sin, it's their old nature that sins, because the new nature is born of God, and it cannot sin. So now you've got this conflict. The flesh lusteth or wars against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. There's that conflict. If you as a Christian have conflict in your life, it doesn't mean you never trusted Christ. There's a lot of people teaching that today, by the way, and it's false. It doesn't mean you've never trusted Christ. What it means is you haven't learned yet how to walk, or you haven't decided to take God's solution to the way you can live your life. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, it says this, what shall we say then? Now, this comes after chapters 1 through 5, obviously, where it talks about our lost condition and how to be saved. And in chapter 5, verse 8, we already covered it. God commended his love towards us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Chapter 3 tells us, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Simply by trusting Christ, you have eternal life. And now we come to chapter 6. He's talking to believers, and he explained to them what God did for them when they trusted Christ as their Savior. And now he says, okay, that being true, that's what you already have. Now what about the way you live your life? How does this affect your life from that point on? Chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? In light of that, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Dead. That is how God sees us. That's how we need to see ourselves. That when we trusted Christ the Savior, we were crucified with him. Galatians 2 talks about that. And God wants us to see our old life, our old nature, the power that was there, that was broken when we trusted Christ. God wants us to see that as dead. In other words, that's the old life. That's the old life. Now, folks, if we refuse to do that, but say, you know what? There's a lot in my old life that I really like. Yeah, I know it wasn't right, but listen, I'm saved. I can't ever be lost again. So I think I can have the best of both worlds. God says, that's not my will for you. When you get saved, I don't want you to continue in sin. That's what it says right there. See, this is a question every Christian should ask himself when faced with temptation. Verse 2, again, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Or shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The answer to that is God forbid. God forbid. Number 2 is this. The lusts or the cravings of the old sin nature are still very much a part of our lives. I say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, let me ask you this. Do you still sin? Well, yeah. Well, then they're very much a part of your life. If you still sin, it's still part of your life. Every time we sin, it is proof of that, that the cravings and the lusts and the desires of our sin nature are still there. Every time we sin. When we entertain sin and give into it, it leads to destruction. And that is why a lot of Christians are living in defeat today and living in misery, is because they haven't gotten serious about this. And it's terrible. Satan, working on our flesh, our old sin nature, wants to bring us back into bondage. And every time we decide that we're going to sin, it's a little bit more into bondage that we go, even though we don't have to live there any longer. It's a choice. While the cravings for sin can become less over time, those cravings are still there. Long-held and practiced sins are very much a part of us. Folks, listen, and we all know this, habits do not die easily. By the way, this is a whole nother topic. God has created us, by the way. Did you know he wired us to where we can develop habits? You might say, well, why did he do that? Well, because you can develop good habits too. Oh, hadn't thought of that. Isn't it amazing? We think of habits as all negative, but that's not the way God made us. He wired us to where we can have good habits. I know people say, well, it takes 21 days to develop a habit. You know what? You can't put it. Everybody's different on that. But here's the point. You can develop a good habit and then start breaking that. And before you know it, you don't have the good habit anymore. Now you got a bad habit. Or you get saved and you break free from the bad habit. And then after a while, you get careless and you think, you know what? You know, I kind of enjoyed that. I think I'll do it one more time. And you do it. And you know what? It's a little bit more bondage. A little bit more bondage. And then it's going to be easier the next time. A little bit more bondage. Okay? Every time, it's like putting a little bit of rope around you. Just every time. A little bit. No one's seen this. Okay. A little bit more bondage. Before you know it, you're all tied up again. Now, you might say, well, I thought saved people, they don't have this happen to them. Yeah, it happens to saved people. There's a lot of people who have all kinds of addictions, and they're Christians. We must decide on whether we truly want to live in freedom or not. But the truth of it is this. Many Christians want to flirt with sin. And this is why the believer never breaks free from it in their personal lives. Oh, God gave them the victory when they put their faith in Christ. The bondage was broken, but they're struggling. I was trying to think, what is this like? And I came up with this illustration. It's like playing with a rattlesnake. How many of you know you don't play with rattlesnakes? But you know what? Somebody will. I'm glad we live in Minnesota. You don't hardly ever see a rattlesnake in Minnesota. Praise the Lord for that. But you know what, friend? You play with a rattlesnake. You see, let me tell you, even the people who know how to deal with rattlesnakes at times get bitten. If you play with an addiction, if we play with sin, it's going to bite us. And the more you do it, the more bites you'll get. And before you know it, your life is in shambles. You've got all kinds of problems. How many times we've had people come through our addictions program, and I've talked to Pastor Dave many times about this, people who are very knowledgeable about the Bible, right, Pastor Dave? Very knowledgeable. Boy, I'll tell you what, they come and the first thing they want to do is impress on you how much Bible they know. And yet their life is a disaster and they're in bondage to addictions. of one kind or another. And that can be the story for all of us. It's a matter, folks, it begins with the matter of choice. Romans 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon, or count it as true, likewise, reckon you also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Dead indeed unto sin. In other words, when you trusted Christ, you were crucified with Christ. Consider yourself the old life, the old you, dead. I don't have to go that way anymore. But that's not what we think. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, your body parts, as instruments of righteousness unto God. You notice in verse 12, let not sin therefore reign. In verses 12 and 13, we see the definite possibility of sin ruling. The word reign means to rule. We see the definite possibility of sin ruling in the life of a believer. Yeah, you know what? So many of what you hear on radio and TV and internet today from quote unquote Christian pastors and teachers is, listen, if you are practicing sin, if sin is ruling in your life, you're not saved. Paul is writing to believers here, and he said, don't let it happen. Now, if it couldn't happen because they were saved, then why would he tell them, don't let it happen to you? It wouldn't be a reality. It wouldn't be possible. But it is possible. It is contrary, though, to the will of God and will result in a destroyed life. A believer with a destroyed life because he lets sin reign in his mortal body. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. This is a reminder. For you are not under the law, but under grace. It's a wonderful reminder for the believer that you do not have to live under the bondage of the old sin nature any longer. Your position in Christ has freed you from that. Verse 15, what then? He says it again, repeats himself. Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Answer, God forbid. We are now under grace. We have been set free from sin. But let us understand this. Our third point today is this. Everyone at any moment is a servant to some master. Now, this is key this morning. Anyone at any moment is a servant to some master. This is someone who is under the authority of something or someone else, a servant. Every minute we live our lives, we are under the authority of someone else. Now, I know this is a hard concept for some people to grasp, okay? Because we have this idea of, you know what? I don't want to go all out for Christ. I don't want to live a separated, a dedicated life to Jesus Christ. But, oh no, boy, I don't want to be like those people on the streets of San Francisco. What I want is, I just kind of want a medium area. I'm saved by grace. I have eternal life. I know I can't be lost, but you know what? Yeah, I just kind of want to live it up some. I don't want to be too spiritual. I mean, you know, people think I'm weird. I'll lose all my friends. So I'll just kind of, no, listen. Two choices on the shelf, either serving Christ or serving self. There's no in between. We're either living our lives for Christ or we're living our lives for the flesh. It's either the spirit or the flesh, the spirit or the flesh. There's no in between, spirit, flesh. It's one or the other. There is never a time when we are not. You notice in verses 13 through 19, it's interesting, in verses 13 through 19, the word yield or yielded is used five times. This is key. Romans 6, verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom ye obey. Now watch this. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Do you notice? It's one or the other. There's only two masters. It's either sin or the Lord. Sin or the Lord. The word yield means to present. It's translated that way in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. The word, same word, yield. You could put yield in there. In other words, we are either serving the flesh or serving the Lord. There is no other option. It is impossible to be neutral. It's impossible. According to the Bible, not me. According to the Bible. One commentary said this, and it's very good. Quote, to refuse to allow God to be master over your life, and he's talking about as a Christian, to refuse to allow God to be master over your life is to choose slavery to sin. That's a powerful statement. And it's 100% true. 100%. You don't have to turn there, but back in the passage there where we began in John chapter 8, Jesus said this, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Servant of sin. Every time we sin, we are the servant of sin, linking to the flesh, the old nature. Which leads us to our fourth point today, and it is this. How do we as believers experience freedom and have victory? Well, we saw that in verse 16. We yield and then obey, okay? Yield and then obey. Yield and then obey. Would you say it with me? Yield and then obey. Let's do it again. We yield and then obey. One more time. We yield and then obey. That's it. Remember, the bondage has been broken. We don't have to live under bondage unless we choose to, which is foolishness. But to have victory, we yield ourselves to God. We present ourselves to God. Lord, I'm trusting in you. Lord, help me. And then we obey his word. We do what he said. Now, it isn't, folks, it isn't the kind of thing where we say, well, you know what? The things I like, those I'll do, but the other things I'm not going to. Listen, when we say to God, I'll do the things I like in your word, but the things I don't like, I'm not going to do, we're saying, okay, Lord, I will serve you here, but I will serve sin over here. Because remember, it's one or the other. There's no in between. And this is where a lot of the defeat comes in, because people want to live in the cracks. Well, I don't want to go there, but I really don't want to go there. But I really don't want to go there. So I just want to, no middle ground. Living on the fence is a painful place to be. You can't do it, really. You can't live on the fence. That's why it says in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's a key right there. Galatians 5:16. You're still in Romans, verse 17. But God be thanked that you were, you notice that, the servants of sin, that's when you were not saved. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. What is he referring to? He's referring to the gospel. When we were lost, we were the servants of sin. All we had was our sin nature. But we obeyed from the heart the doctrine which was delivered to us, which is the gospel. This is the only message that can deliver. And when we trusted Christ as Savior, the bondage of sin was broken. God forgave us of all of our sins. We became children of God. And now we have a new nature whereby we can live free from the bondage. Whereas before, you really didn't have a choice. Romans 6:18, being then made free from sin, doesn't stop there. You became the servants of righteousness. Notice that being made free from sin made us the servants of righteousness. We were bought out of the slave market of sin. We were redeemed by another master. The old master is sin. The new master is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who bought us, folks. And he is loving. He is gracious. He is merciful. We then became his servants. And that is where he wants us to live, right there. We were not made free to sin, because that would be going right back under the old master. To think that God has saved us to sin more is a perversion of the grace of God. He hasn't saved us to sin more. He saved us to free us to where we don't have to live in sin any longer. Romans chapter 6, verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded, there's that word again, as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, that's the way it was before you were saved, even so, what? now that you're saved, yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. That's the will of God. That's the will of God. Two masters, sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day we're choosing, which one will we live under? This leads us to our fifth point. The choice is clear and it must be made. Again, folks, you can't be neutral on this. You can't be neutral on this. Now, I love what God does in our text. He tells us all this issue that's going on now in the life of a believer, and then he comes to verses 20 and 21. And you notice this, verses 20 and 21, let me read it. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Lots of Christians today living in rebellion, and they're paying the price. I don't want to be part of church. I don't want to serve the Lord. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to live for Christ. I just want to do my own thing. I'm saved. I have eternal life. I just want to do my own thing. Friend, it's just a matter of time where the bondage is going to become so great, your life will resemble the prodigal son. You're going to be living with the pigs. Your life's going to be a disaster. Only a fool would think you can go against God and win. You can't. As a child of God, only a foolish child of God would think you can go against God and win. Why would you want to? What does the world have to offer? Zero. What does the Lord have to offer? Freedom. In John, it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you not miserable, free. It's a glorious way to live, in freedom. To live in submission to the old master, sin, leads to a destroyed life. We see that in verse 21. However, to live in submission to the new master leads to freedom and tremendous blessing. We see that in verse 22. But now, being made free from sin, when you trusted Christ, you were made free from sin, and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness. That's the result. And the end, everlasting life. So, as we yield ourselves to the Lord and live for Him, we will experience God's holiness. We're more and more being set apart to Him. We are experiencing true freedom, because true freedom does not involve sinning. True freedom involves obedience to Him. And so our lives can just get better and better, and we can enjoy the freedom and the liberty that we have in Christ. And what's the end? Heaven. Question, which is better, to be the servant of sin or the servant of righteousness? It should be a no-brainer. You're in Romans 6, look at verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. Always has been, always will be. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Later on in Romans, Paul says this in Romans 8, 6. He says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let me ask you this morning, do you want to be free? Number one, you need to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. There is no freedom outside of Jesus Christ. There's no freedom. And if you die without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll be lost forever and you'll suffer forever. And God doesn't want that for you. That's why He sent His Son, to pay for your sin. If you are a believer, are you living in the freedom that Jesus Christ provides? Are you yielded to Him? Are you obedient to Him as a child of God? Not to be saved or stay saved, but because you are saved. When you trusted Christ, when I trusted Christ, that was the beginning. And now once we're saved, oh, the changes and the beauty and the wonder and the freedom that we can experience, the abundant life that we can experience in Christ. But folks, it is a matter of choice, and it's a matter of getting serious with God on this and saying, you know what? I've been dabbling in stuff. I've been dabbling in this or that. I've got an area of my life, secret sins. You know what? You need to take it to the Lord. You need to confess that. You need to get right with Him and put it behind and start walking now in the Word of God. The psalmist put it this way, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. To some people, that's an oxymoron. Wait a minute. living in obedience to God's word. How is that freedom? It's freedom because God's the one who made us. He knows how it works. Sin always brings bondage. Obedience always brings freedom.
Well, friends, that concludes this edition of Voice of Assurance. Thanks so much for listening. And would you share this ministry with a friend? To contact us or learn more about our ministry, please visit www.northlandchurch.com. Your prayers and support for this ministry are greatly appreciated. Thank you so much, and God bless you.